coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Thursday, October 19th, 2023. After a week hiatus, Steve Quayle.com is back with me. Have a lot of information to get into. Talking about a Middle East reality check, okay? Middle East reality check, folks. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start right now by reading this. This comes to me by way of Steve Quayle. But if we can put this up on the screen, let me read you something here. The question is, how all standard Israeli security procedures were taken off borders and the most secure border in the world is left unattended from Israeli observer. And this is from an Israeli, someone in Israel, and I'm not going to go any further than that. Let me read this for the radio listeners. Set alerts according to three levels of pressure. She must be alert when she is cut. There are 24/7 forces that are responsible for arriving within a few minutes, if not seconds, to the point where there is an alert in the fence. In other words, hey, if a pigeon lands on the fence, the Israeli defense forces and the people watching this know about it. So every day, do at least one penetration practice. This is, of course, referencing the lead up to the invasion. Each subdivision has a standby squad whose role is to increase the force in an emergency situation. Observations scattered along the border cover every inch of it. The female observers are champions in identification. They don't miss. They detect movement even before it approaches the obstacle, day and night. At problematic points or dead areas, they place a tank with observation and detection capabilities and a terrifying firepower. In some cases, snipers are deployed in the field. Every day before dawn, there is a dawn alert procedure. At this hour, all of the forces are awake, in this case, also the hour when hundreds of terrorists entered Israel. Now think about that, folks. That's my opining here. The night shift alternates with the day shift. The commander of each force inspects the axis to make sure there were no infiltrations during the night, to make sure they didn't miss anything. Trackers that move on the axis know how to recognize traces. They know who crossed the fence, how much, and even when. That's how secure this border is. Because there are a lot of questions, folks, and again, I'm opining here, a lot of questions about, well, how did this happen with such significant border patrol? Each scenario, writes the source, has a clear procedure. For example, a procedure for infiltrating terrorists, a procedure for taking hostages. Everything is written in blood and has been proven itself for years. There are several other layers of security. In short, we're talking about an obstacle that has proved itself really for years and years. So how in the hell does a Palestinian tractor move toward the fence without anyone reacting to it? How did the tractor manage to sabotage the fence for a long hour and open access to Israel without anyone reacting to it? Those are some important questions. And to carry on with this and to continue that discussion, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Go to stevequayle.com. Make sure you sign up for his private briefings. Folks, if you go to hagmanpi.com on the right-hand side of the screen, there is a link directly that will lead you directly to his private briefings. Do that. Also, and this is so exciting, I've got to say, I'm proud of this. The Mexican Expeditions, Alien Artifacts Unearthed. The DVD is now out, like I said earlier in the week, as well as the download on Vimeo. I received a phone call from a physician who absolutely really raved about the quality and about the content of the DVD and the download. And he said, make sure you tell Steve that I really thought it was fabulously done. It answers a lot of questions and opens the door to really some questions that we might have today, and answers those as well. So thank you, Doctor, but thank you, Steve and crew, for creating this DVD. If you don't have it already, please grab it. It will, again, it'll answer a lot of questions. And I'm a big believer in the history proving our present state. And that's what this kind of does. But it does much more than that. So go to gen6.com and there it is. Or just go to stevequill.com and from there you can go to all of the various locations. But this I'm really, really, really excited about. The Mexico Expedition Alien Artifacts Unearthed. Please get yourself a copy of that. And for the amount of work, by the way, that went into this and the man hours, the blood, sweat, and tears. Wow, what a great deal this is. So there is that, as well as his private briefings. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, Doug. And I just want everyone to know that, you know, we received these. They're going out in record time. Let's see which way on the screen.
There we go.
And what's interesting is that on the front of the screen, you'll see right in one of the alien skulls that's kind of highlighted in red, that's the same skull that Steven Spielberg patterned Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls after. Everyone talks about the Paraca skulls and the cone heads and all that stuff. But this is the first known, and this is, we retrieved this, first known horizontal axis skull that was unearthed. And I want everyone to understand something. This is critical because if you understand the controlled narrative, you can understand that there's always an implied end result required. And the whole purpose, thank you, Eric, for showing this 6 hours of DVDs is to show you stuff that is uncovered in real time, establishing the provenance and the authenticity. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we've gone to massive amounts of effort. We thank you, Doug, and I thank you for the fundraiser. Without the fundraisers, we couldn't have afforded this. But not only did the doctor say this, but one man said, I've never been on an expedition in my life, but he said, I felt like I was shoveling dirt. And he said, thank you for letting me go on this. So shovel by shovel, find by find. And that's why there's 4 hours of it, because we've taken a lot of hits, a lot of people. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that the three-letter agencies and the Smithsonian, which has their own intelligence group, basically is doing everything they can to undermine these finds. There's one problem, though, now, Doug. The Mexican government has come to the point where they're talking amongst themselves. And on your show, I said this, a year ago, that there are going to be governments breaking free of the United States' financial control of their artifacts. Interestingly enough, Bolivia, Ecuador, and the areas right now where we need to go are embroiled, and they are in, let's say, they are battling narco terrorist gangs like there's no tomorrow. So, it's interesting that the timing of this release, and we give God the glory and the credit. And I don't want everybody to understand, when they ask me the question, what do aliens have to do with salvation? Everything. Because even now there's a story posted on my website about the U.S. military trying to destroy the God gene. I don't know if you saw that story, Doug.
I did.
And even Bill Gates is talking about it. the finds that we have located and shown on film, ladies and gentlemen, you can't deny it. It's a double helix. And so the ancient, we go into not only ancient history, but pre-Adamic history. And if that's coming on the scene like I've never seen it before, because it used to be poo-pooed. The gap theory is mocked, scorned, Bible scholars rejected, of course. And the reason they do is because the truth is absolutely foundational to the kingdom of God. And so there you go. The idea is, you know, they're going to destroy the part of our genetic makeup that God put. The Bible says that every man is given enough faith to be saved. They hate God that much. So, Doug, in our expeditions, again, thank you so much, Eric, in our expeditions, plural, and all the research that goes in behind the scenes is that we can establish aliens, UFOs, pyramid building. By the way, it wasn't built by the Aztec, Inca, or Maya. It wasn't built by the Toltec. It wasn't built by any human agents. And in all of our what I call the creation panels, which are pretty disgusting because of the sexual manipulation of the human genome, What's so important for people to understand is they're going to, at an appropriate time, spring. They, the Illuminists, the Globalists, the demon-possessed, the Luciferian-controlled, and fallen angels in earth form. Yes, they can take on even the appearance of man or woman or whatever they choose to. So this is probably one of the most important projects we've ever done. This is totally different than Lies of Men and Gods, because this is the actual expedition. And then there's an interview with Daniel Holdings. God bless him. He wrote the script for this. It was a labor of love. Thank you to Jesse. And you guys have seen Jesse. And Jesse's meeting with the people. I won't say who. He's already told you he's meeting with some of the Mexican officials. But Doug, I made the statement that if Mexico brings forth their artifacts, they will have the greatest tourism business in the world, okay? Now, one of the questions asked is, why are there so many artifacts? Well, it's because we're talking about 9,000 years of civilization built on top of each other, both prior to the creation of Adam and Eve and post the creation of Adam and Eve. So we're watching in real time history, and we give God the glory. I mean, some pretty famous people have tried to duplicate what we did. One of them's well known, had his own TV program, and their cameraman was held hostage by the narco terrorists for six figures. And so you can't just go in there. I had one guy, he said, well, can I just go and see the artifacts? I said, sure, you can go. And that's true, you can. You'll go into the area of Ensenada, Mexico, Tijuana, where it's considered the fifth. Tijuana is the fifth most deadly murder capital in the world. So into this environment, you know, people want to know a little bit about Jesse's background. The guy is open. He was the number two man in the mafia, the Mexican mafia, before Jesus saved him. I said, and Doug, you know this. You and I have talked to him off screen, too, when we've recorded with him. But the bottom line is that's probably one of the most wonderful testimonies of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you guys, Jesse's no pushover. I mean, he's a tough, tough guy. And yet he loves Jesus, and he won't go into these areas without prayer and fasting and the direct go from the Lord. That's why even when Vinny, our cameraman, who's accompanied Gen 6 on, I don't know, half a dozen of our trips at least, the bottom line is when Vinny was down in the hole, I have his affidavit. He said, Steve, I used to think this stuff was crazy, and then it blew my mind as it came out of the hole. By the way, he called me the night before they started digging, Doug, and said, Steve, they just murdered eight people down the road from the hotel we're staying in. I said, Vinny, Jesse's where God wants him. You're safe. And for the record, he was safe. The point I'm trying to make, ladies and gentlemen, is the most powerful evil entities in the world have tried to stop this. That's not melodrama. I don't believe I'm James Bond. You know, there's no delusion. And that's why in my interview, I think I'm at 45 minutes, Daniel Holding's an hour, and I think Jesse's close to an hour. We explain what directed us, who was the Holy Spirit. And we're not making stupid religious claims. We are absolutely showing you shovel by shovel. So I hope that, you know, at even the critics, you know, are going to have to quit shoveling the other word, not dirt, you know, in our direction, because they'll be proven to be the jealous haters they are. And some of them are well known in the giant community and the fake fairy movement. So, you know, the point is that we're at a point now, I'm sorry, we're at a intersection hub, if you will, of all this evil coming out. And how does this even fit into the Israeli war against Hamas, against Hezbollah? I want everybody to understand something. And then if, Eric, you'd put those questions back up on the screen from where Doug left off, I've learned a valuable lesson over the different guys I've been taught by, tutored by, you know, who used to work for me, wonderful Christian men who left the Puzzle Palace. If you don't know what the Puzzle Palace is, look it up. I'll make it simple. It's the NSA, no such agency. And I get, Doug, I get hit daily with, well, how do I know that's real? Well, you don't, but we do everything we can to prove it. And I've never seen so much skepticism, as because anything that sets it from, quote, you know, people that claim they know this stuff, and yet it's such a fascinating article. I maintain this isn't bragging. This is the most amazing archaeological find in history. You know, Tutankhamun, yeah, Queen Nefertiti, yeah, that's a big deal in Egyptian history. But these finds transcend history, show the manipulation in history. And again, Hebrew slaves didn't exist all over the world where the great pyramids were built. The ones in China surpass the ones on the Giza Plateau. So I want to go in and tell everybody that why this is critical right now. How can I weave in the alien expedition and unearthing the alien artifacts with what's going on in the Middle East? It's simple, because there needs to be a World War III. If you want to argue, is it Ezekiel 38, 39, which I believe it is. Some people want to say it's Psalm 83. Some people want to say it's later in the year, later in the decade. It doesn't matter. What we're watching is the setup for the arrival of Antichrist. I want to go on record, and I'm sorry, but there's going to be a war between Christians and Jews, and even Hebrew roots claimants and biblical Christians, because there is a false history that everyone assumes is true. And the how do I say this? Those who converted to Judaism from the Khazarian Empire and from the Magyars, M-A-G-Y-A-R, those are not the genetic descendants of Abraham. The genetic descendants of Abraham have gone all over the world. There were 12 tribes. So what happened to the 11 lost tribes? Well, what's happening right now is a narrative, and I want people to understand the reason Doug read the first part of this, and I'm going to read the next part. I was always told by four-star generals that God put me in contact with, that gave me favor, that adopted me into a certain realm. I've never been paid a nickel by the federal government. Some of the things, you know, I was associated with, people just didn't believe it, so I quit talking about it. Those who went to the Branson Conference know exactly what I'm talking about, where I went into pretty great detail. So I'm only doing what I believe God has called me to do, and that's basically warn the people of God. Now, whether they take that warning or not is on them. But I'm telling you that, ladies and gentlemen, these questions that I'm going to read to you that was sent by someone who is in charge of border security in a specific area of Israel on the wall, the anomalies are really problematic. So going to the basic, and Doug, you know this as an investigator, if you know the right questions to ask, you know that you will get an answer to that question. You don't ever go fishing. You go with specific intent in mind. Is that not true?
100%. Yep, you got it.
Thank you.
And you know, just to go back a little bit, I always, if anyone would question the authenticity of what was found as it relates to current events, first of all, I would not be afraid to authenticate, if that was my job, your finds, and then contextualize the finds with respect to current events, including, well, from the jab to the current events in the Middle East. They're all connected. So, yes, but that was a long answer to a very direct question. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm going to read these questions. I want you to think about it. And it's important because, again, the question you asked, Doug, I think was one of the last ones. So how the hell does a Palestinian tractor move forward and towards the fence without anyone reacting to it? How did the tractor manage to sabotage the fence for a long hour and open access to Israel without anyone reacting to it? How did hundreds of terrorists and civilians cross the barrier without anyone on our side lifting a finger? This is from an Israeli border guard. How did terrorists arrive on foot and in vehicles armed from head to toe to dozens of Israeli settlements without any reaction from our side? How did hundreds of terrorists stay in Israeli territory for long hours, shoot hundreds of Israelis, loot property without their being given a single reaction or without even a single reaction on our side? And it's important, again, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand that we're asking the questions. And these are questions you need to ask of people that say, oh, this was all a random event. No, it wasn't. This was staged. How did it happen that hundreds of terrorists kidnapped dozens of Israelis, woke women, children, babies, old people from their deaths, surprised soldiers, officers when they were not ready, and kidnapped them to Gaza without anyone stopping them? This is a complete breach of all Israeli security policies and intelligence policies. How is it that one bullet was not fired? How did all this happen under our noses? Where did an entire division go? Where did three brigades go? Who swallowed nine battalions? What happened to 36 companies? Where did an entire regular infantry brigade go that usually outnumbers the elite? Where were all the reserve battalions where were all the reserve battalions that augment the regular army? Where did thousands of soldiers go? And someone needs to provide explanations. Now, let me say something. The most sophisticated intelligence equipment exists on the Israeli border. They have access to real-time satellite data feeds at any point in their history from any place. And doesn't matter if it's Iran, doesn't matter if it's southern Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt. Now, why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that we're watching just the controlled narrative and nobody in the press, because nothing there. And by the way, Doug, vomit brokers, I better put whale vomit brokers, mainstream accessories to genocide, will not ask these questions. And if they do, they'll be silenced, either taken off the air, unemployed, or worse, murdered. So this has everything to do with the cover up of the narration that's getting set to happen. Because the Antichrist is who's going to come in to the third temple. And we watch the destruction of the temples of the living God. The New Testament makes it clear. God doesn't dwell in a stone temple, you know, where the mercy seat once was and all of the tabernacle and temple furniture was. God himself said enough of this. He ripped the curtain in half at the time of Jesus's crucifixion, prior to his resurrection, and said enough is enough. And that's why Hebrews says, and this is something that people hate, religious people hate, the fact that people in relationship with Jesus Christ can come directly into the presence of God. Anything we pray in Jesus' name to the Father, it's supposed, and the Bible says we have that access, and it's supposed to come to pass. But the war on our faith, the war on our the tribulation that's unfolding, the need for miracles like no other time in history is now upon us. You know, just an update on Tom Horn. He's still in the hospital. Now he's on massive blood thinners. He almost passed away in the night. They revived Tom Horn two times with paddles. I don't know if they had to do it last night. The source of my information is Joe Horn, his son. So we're watching
Steve, I've gotten some emails about this. What did happen to Tom Horn to cause his hospitalization?
Pretty much leftover, I think, the COVID. He had long-term COVID, and he was really coming under a major biological attack. I'm talking from his own body. And finally, his heart gave out, so he was rushed to the hospital the first time. So his heart, and they believe it was due to long-term COVID or the secondary effects of COVID.
All right. And folks, please pray for Tom Horn, Joe Horn, his son, providing Steve Quayle the information. And I got emails I couldn't. And questions I could not answer because I did not know this, but I did know that Tom Horn was suffering in the hospital. And thank you for that update.
Well, he's still in there.
Yeah.
You know, and only God can give him a miracle. And Doug, this is why I'm praying for miracles. People don't need pat answers. They don't need cliches. And everything that's associated with Israel has been a pat answer that doesn't stand the test of scrutiny. Why is it that our borders are wide open? By the way, we probably have more Hamas in the United States than they do in Gaza. And I'm not kidding. The point is that we've left our borders open to take down the United States of America, in my opinion, you know?
I'm right there with you on that. I believe in the numbers that came through. I believe that, simply put, we've got individuals and people from Hamas, Palestinian Liberation Front, the army, the old Palestinians, as well as the current Hamas, Hezbollah. We've got pockets of individuals, of fighters, and this is all compliments of the current Biden / Obama military regime taking over the U.S. Yes, you're 100% accurate. Michael Yon has pointed this out, and it's only going to increase in the immediate future. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and again, this is what I think people have to understand. The truth, and I'm talking about truth, biblical, empirical truth, the biological creation of a woman and a man, every foundational truth of, I would call it, actual existence and actual reality is being challenged. And if enough people tell enough bovine swill to people and everybody goes along because they want to be politically correct, I'm on record. World War III has started. And I'm also on record as saying it's going to go nuclear. And for the record, everyone, the Persians, Iranians, are not some third world country. They were the strongest evil empire in the world. That two of the mightiest archangels in God's word, the Holy Bible, that the Prince of Persia, a supernatural evil entity, was able to withstand the Archangel Michael and the Archangel Gabriel for 21 days as Daniel, the prophet Daniel, prayed, seeking an answer from God on how long the captivity of Israel would last. And that's the whole thing, Daniel's 70th week. So, Doug, what we're watching is America. I believe America's a Babylon. And John Price, before he went to be with the Lord, wrote America, Daughter of Babylon. But people have got to understand it was a Medo-Persian empire that destroyed Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, you know. And for the record, a lot of the area south of the Caspian and Black Sea, which we had called Russia, and to the east of that, and to the north until it ran into what's called the Scythian, S-C-Y-T-H-I-A-N empire. And what's interesting about that, Paul talks about that empire being the most evil of all. But right now we're watching Russia and Iran coming together. They have a mutual defense pact. President Putin's not kidding. Israel wants Tehran taken out of the way, Iran. But I want people to understand, if I can make one point today, it's this. Everything you've been told, I've been told, we've been told about Iran is a lie. The Israelis have not told their own people the truth. Iran's had atom bombs. They could buy them from Khan of Pakistan. Now they're able to do a lot of stuff that people would just be flabbergasted at. And Doug, this is the whole world dies as they embrace the lies. When I started on talk radio 35 years ago, I think on my own program, and I was guests on others up until that point, the thing I could never understand is when I believe, and it's on record, so I'm not making it up after the fact, that the day would come when, and I believe this is so clear now, when we would not be able to trust our eyes and what we see or trust our ears and what we hear. But only as the true redeemed of the Lord, we have to understand that the father of lies, this is a symphony of global destruction by Lucifer, the ultimate symphony conductor. And he knows how to write a symphony of death. He knows everything that's going on that he's in control of, but he doesn't realize that all of this, it doesn't take the living God by surprise. But we watched Christians die horribly due to the fact that they were either vaccinated or came down with COVID, i.e. Russ and Shelley Dizdar. We watched people who we couldn't talk any sense to die before our eyes. And I want you to know, Doug, that the basic premise that went wrong in Christianity, in my opinion, is all these externals that look at Israel, look at the temple, look at the red heifer, look at this, look at that. I'm bashing the fact that the temple was destroyed. This temple is where God dwells. He doesn't dwell in a temple, but the Antichrist is coming on the scene. And there's a whole lot of evangelifish slapping like seals in a circus. So, this is such a sign of Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Yeah, but it's not the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's the second coming of the Antichrist. I got to take a breath there.
This was, no, what you said, by the way, I had John Price on this, on the program, obviously prior to his passing, and of course the end of America, about the Islamic end times, or the end times with respect to the Islamic invasion. Very interesting. And he asked me too to get some books, which I did, to some congressional members. This was probably in 2015 or 2016, which I did. But all of this, like you said, okay, is really setting the stage, or it has set the stage, even going back to Obama's Arab Spring to where we're at today. So a lot of players, and by the way, Biden's recent visit, which I wrote about, to Israel, all that did was stall the Israeli IDF forces from taking care of business in Gaza. And Blinken was part of that as well. And as a matter of fact, the humanitarian aid, and I have to throw this in there, Steve, the humanitarian aid that the United States is giving to Gaza is being used not for civilians, but for military purposes, and people don't really get that. And I don't know where the disconnect is, but all of this is setting the stage. You're right, for what is about to come. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think what's underway, because Doug, again, the thing that I want people to understand today, look, we're watching laws being passed in Europe that will absolutely affect the alternative news. That means anybody that you're getting what you would, I think you'd come to all of us who are in alternative news, no matter the sites, to hear what the mainstream vomit brokers are not. And I want to share something. Anybody who calls for gun control is your future executioner, already planning your death now. And I can't make that any plainer. How is it that the most volatile area in the world, we'll go back to Israel, and there were no firearms even in the kibbutzes, or you know, there was nobody to return fire unless they had a permit and were able to grab them. One brave Israeli woman, of course, she saved her entire little farm area because she was a trained Israeli soldier. And she knew how to set booby traps. And she was trained. And because of one woman's gun handling and training capability, she saved a lot of lives. I mean, a lot, dozens and dozens of lives. And she took out, I think, she and maybe one other person. I don't know the exact firefight protocols that were in place. But I'll tell you what, thank God for one woman with a handgun. Thank God for one woman with an AR-15. She didn't have a handgun. And what is critical, you guys, is our own government. Michael Yon is absolutely telling the truth. He's in the Darien Gap. Doug, you and I've had him on. You had him on separately. I get his emails daily, and it is the most I don't know another word, but a Vigoro hitting the fan events that are coming at us. So
yeah, I've talked to Michael Yon off air, and I've got to tell you right now, this is the worst case of treason, and he, that's his word with respect to what's coming through. He sent me something, and you probably got it too. They're widening their widening and putting a bridge in the Darien Gap, and you're going to be looking at a million invaders coming through the southern border here on a regular basis, like within weeks. Okay, it's that intense. But who's it? Who, why, Steve, why aren't Americans, I got so many questions. First of all, who gave the stand down orders in Israel? Number one. Number two, why aren't Americans going down there with their own handguns down to our southern border and protecting our country? And why is Abbott not doing anything out of the four, you know, three of the four, there's four states that border the southern border. What's wrong with Abbott? Why isn't he doing anything except, you know, placating?
People that know him, and you know people, and I know the same people that know him, said he's part of the problem. He's been likened to a train turntable, taking, this is, it's alleged, taking the different groups, busing them here, busing them there. You know, everybody thinks, oh, he's fighting the border. No, he's intentionally being, let's just say this, he is the military planner for sending all these people, because you can look at it. Look at the National Guard.
Yeah.
Even the National Guard in Texas are cutting concertina wire, razor wire, and they're allowing these people through. Same thing with the Border Patrol. Not all of them, but some of them. So, Doug, it is a total lie that, you know, we're just going to sit in America and not be effective. This is what I'm trying to say. There are more Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, and other terrorist groups, especially narco-terrorist groups, that are in this country.
Yes.
And cash talks and BS walks. You've heard that statement.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to get some things across about Iran that everybody needs to understand. That first and foremost, that most Americans and Western people would be stunned at the level of sophistication of the Iranian technology and weapons. Remember, my premise is we are seeing the reemergence of the Medo-Persian Empire and the Medo-Persian alliance, because the Persians had alliances with all the surrounding nations when they had their empire. That's another thing people don't know. But the ability to produce sophisticated weapon systems is not in question. Again, I looked and I had somebody I know that knows how to search the internet. I have in my possession someplace on a computer, and I was destroyed four computers. A couple of them I have the hard drives, but the actual Associated Press article back at the turn of the century, and we talked about it on your show, not the turn of the century, but turn from 2000 going in 2001, when the Associated Press carried the story of nuclear testing in Iran. So what I'm trying to get people to understand is that's 22 years ago, and the Iranians are incredibly brilliant people. They're building their own high-precision CNC machines. In other words, America lost its edge of machining and manufacturing, and now the Iranians are building up some of the most sophisticated CNC manufacturing capabilities in history, okay? That's a big deal when you're going to make atom bombs, neutron bombs, hydrogen bombs, and hypersonic missiles. Oh, by the way, Iran has hypersonic missiles. The United States does not. They're building their own ultra centrifuges for refining uranium to weapons grade purity as well as normal reactor grade purity. By the way, the United States doesn't have any more uranium refining in the country. We gave that away. We've been intentionally taken down until the time we're taken over. Okay? So Iran is refining weapons-grade plutonium as well. Iran is a heavy water separation plant, heavy water deuterium. They're now making longer-range ballistic missiles. In short, Iran is way ahead of what Western estimates are for its capabilities. And this is something else that, you know, if people want to argue, look, and forgive me, discuss. One of my friends says, well, I'm not arguing, I'm just discussing. And I said, well, you're discussing. I'm telling you, I'm disgusted with the absolute blindness of the American people that they don't understand we're being taken over from within. Remember, Doug, I've said this for years on your show, a communist take over and take down.
Yep, that's right.
And so I've not, you know, made that up. And I think it's critical, too. Here's what's going to happen around the globe. How much time do we have?
We've got about 18 minutes.
Okay, good. Because we got a lot of stuff to cover. We're facing a thermonuclear global World War III in which the United States of America is utterly destroyed. You tell me, and this is rhetorical, Doug, how we as a nation can defend ourselves against hordes, military fighting age men, giving cell phones, having been trained in various weapon systems, who are coming to the areas where there were pre-positioned arms already stored in warehouses from the, and this has been planned since the Obama Nation of Desolation time. Again, I go back to the statement. Obama made the statement, they need an army equal in strength or greater in strength than the U.S. military. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
So I'm not making this up. Billions and billions of rounds of ammo, you know, billions of dollars worth of weapon systems. And in the world of narco-terrorism, in the world, and this is what's told to me, I don't, you know, Jesse knows a lot of those people, and they're telling him, you know, look, what do you want? We get it all. And Jesse said, I've left that world. I've come to know Jesus. Man, you'd think that that's a force field to some of these people. But also to others, they go, you found Jesus? And they point to the Catholic Jesus. Jesse says, no, not that Jesus. I found the real Jesus, who's Lord and Savior. Well, when you're dealing with somebody that, you know, I mean, he doesn't, and he didn't want to go into great detail in the film, but, you know, I've seen him without his shirt on, and you count the bullet holes. In case most people don't notice, his eye, he's only got one eye. He was stabbed in the eye. And, you know, I think he showed me the x-ray, and it was a big knife. And so you don't hear him wallowing in woe is me. But again, these are people, Doug. I praise the living God that I've gone into, you've gone into. We're allowed to go into the highways and byways of the world and literally share Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit through the angels of God, which are out there. They are facilitating bringing men and women to Jesus. And we're, again, I cannot suffice it. I want to slam my hand on the desk, but the point is that we are at World War III, thermonuclear global World War III. And the USA is destined for utter destruction. Now, I heard, and I haven't heard the pastor, and I don't even know his name, so, you know, God bless, may the Lord open his eyes. But I heard him on another talk show referring to, well, nothing's set in stone. When you have the prophetic word of God, it's not only set in stone, but it's set into the future, because only the living God can declare the end of a matter at the beginning of creation. So when God says he sets perpetual enmity between the devil's seed and his seed, and meaning those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and those who are under satanic control, there's a perpetual war going to be there. And the only people, in my opinion, don't get it are the Christians who think that, well, you know, I just trust God. I don't have any fear. I said, you mark my words. That word you just spoke out of your mouth came out of your heart, and you will be challenged on it. And again, you know, we're going to see all sorts of religious cover-up and cover-overs, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty, the reason why the country's in such a state that the abomination of desolation could make the statement, America's no longer a Christian nation, that was true. That was one of his two true statements. And America's the greatest nation in the world, and we intend to change all that. And oh, by the way, his right-hand woman, Valerie Jarrett, was the one that went to Iran behind the scenes with a whole lot of money to come up with a whole lot of, how should I say this, open doors. And ladies and gentlemen, it has to come as a shock that there's nothing left in this country to defend once everything kicks into high gear. I don't know, Doug, when Hamas tells everybody in the United States to go for it. I don't know when Hezbollah. I don't know when ISIS. I don't know the kickoff point. But they are in place waiting for that. So is the kickoff point Israel going a land invasion? Is the kickoff point using a kiloton nuclear weapon, a tactical nuclear weapon in southern Lebanon, in Gaza? Or a strategic nuclear weapon in Tehran or in Damascus? I think it's really important that people understand this is not babes in toyland any longer.
Yeah, and if I can add this.
Yes, please.
What you said right now, Hezbollah has 150,000, count them, 150,000 missiles pointed directly at Israel from Lebanon. Okay, that's Hezbollah. You've got, the United States, and a lot of people don't realize this, is funding the Lebanese army to the tune of $236 million per year, giving them military assistance. The U.S. Army is training the Lebanese army and providing equipment. So you talk about a Middle East reality check. There it is. Okay. It's everybody against Israel. Now, people will say, well, and Steve, I don't know if you even want to address this because I'm kind of over this whole thing, but well, this, you know, Israel, their occupiers or the, no. I mean, it's my belief. And again, if you want to address this, fine. If not, we can just move on. But, the Jews populated what is known now as Israel back 1400 BC. We can trace it back to 1400 BC at the very earliest, or at the very latest in accepted history. So the title deed for the land belongs to God's people, the Jewish people. If I'm, no, I'm not hey, sure Doug, if I said
yeah, I know where you're going with this. Let me make this statement.
Yeah, when please.
There's a misnomer. God even declares why he chose a people. Abraham was chosen out of Ur, the city of Ur of the Chaldeans, C-H-A-L-D-E-A-N-S, okay? And the Jews is that's not even a word. They were Hebrews, even in in Egypt's pharaonic dynasty, they were known as Hebrews. But there were also people that converted, you know, in the 14s and 1500s that were not Jews. So the lineal descendants of Abraham have nothing to do with the word Jew outside of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. But the other 11 are left out on purpose, okay?
Okay.
And Jesus made it clear when he looked at Nathanael sitting under the tree and said, he said, behold, an Israelite in which there is no guile. And guile is a real thing. Now, Jesus also said, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Correct.
By extension, the control of money is a control of all evil. This is where people miss it. They blame the Jews. They don't understand that there are Jews who call themselves Jews and are not. Even Jesus said, specific groups of those who claim to be Jews and are not. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And the works he did, you're going to do also. And you can't get away from the fact that, you know, let me share this. I no longer use the word Judeo-Christian. I don't. I use the word historic Hebrew Christian because, again, there's a misnomer. And when you have, how do I say this? When you have a misunderstanding of true history, and by the way, the current boundaries of Israel are not the promised land that God gave to them. He set out the boundaries. Well, that's not going to make Saudi Arabia happy.
Exactly.
And you go to, you were talking about 1,400 years ago. It was the cedars of Lebanon in Lebanon, which is a nation that's been around since King Solomon's time, that were used in some of the building of some of the things, first of all, of the tabernacle, the tent in the wilderness. But what's problematic is this. Old things have passed away. There are two trees in the New Testament. Jesus made it clear. There's a fig tree, usually standing for Judaism, and then or the Jewish believers, not Judaism, Jewish believers, and then there was the olive tree, and they're engrafted into one in Jesus Christ. And again, the idea that we're the chosen race, chosen means separated unto God to manifest himself in them. The entire Talmudic world of Talmudic Judaism is not the same thing as the Torah. And what the Talmudic followers of what I would call the occult form of Judaism, I mean, what they say against Jesus Christ, and let me just boil it down to the bottom line. The third temple is being built for the Antichrist. Christians are stupidly contributing to that. The Antichrist temple is for the presence of Antichrist to come on the scene. He cannot come on the scene until there is a third world war, because he has to come on as a man of peace. The third world war will be presented as a Armageddon. Oh, look at the Savior has come. No, it's not the Savior. Jesus made it clear. But I love what Hawk says. Hawk has said this for 20 years. Read the red letter version of the New Testament. The red letter version is the words of Jesus.
Yes.
So when Jesus said, I came as the true Messiah and you rejected me, but another will come claiming to be me, and that means in place of me, and him you will receive. So in essence, what I'm saying is the same misunderstanding of history caused a lot of Christians to go into eternity early, and I pray they all made it the glory if they claim Jesus. They probably did. But there are a lot of people that failed to see a basic principle that the Spirit of the living God, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why, you know, in essence, the people that want to look for sticks and stones and old men's bones are looking in the wrong direction for the moving of God. And God will move in the individual lives of the believers and the collective lives of the worshipers as they seek him with all their heart. And when just as evil that's going to be manifest on the earth has never been seen before, because the Lord himself, Jesus, said, there will be, you know, there's nothing like it. There'll never be anything like it again. And except God the Father would shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. Well, I spent 35 years writing on singularity. I didn't call it that in those days. I called it genetic monsters, genetic Armageddon. And now we're here. And now we're just posting articles that Eric just put up that they're trying to destroy the God particle. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make it simple. Every single mainstream news media, every piece of toilet paper with a headline on it. And you know what? There'll be a higher amount of newspapers and outhouses in the coming years, and that will be read on people's tables simply because the newspapers are passing away. And that's what they used to use for toilet paper until toilet paper was invented. But we're watching the accessories to genocide, the ATGers, on the scene now. And we're seeing Klaus Schwab the slob, that vomitous creature expelled out of hell for this time in history, in my opinion, telling you you're going to eat bugs. Oh, and if that isn't good enough, you're going to eat your own feces and you're going to drink your own urine. Remember, we put that story up on the screen for people to see.
Yeah.
So I'm not making this up. So where is the disconnect that Son of Satan himself is saying, you're not going to have cars, you know? You know, who in the bleep, 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 bleep world does that bleeping bleep bleeper think he bleeping is? There you go. That's the best use of bleeps, that many bleeps in a sentence, I think, that anybody's ever used. The point is that we are at the time. Do I know this is Psalm 83 war, or what about Gog and Magog? And it really throws a wrench in the people that talk about the Gog and Magog war when they understand those were two giants that the city of London venerates one time a year. Gog and Magog are the names of two British Isle giants. I think, I don't know if we've talked about that on your show, Doug.
And just to be clear, when you refer to the city of London, you're not talking about London proper. The city of London is within London, where even correct. The queen must curtsy, the king must bow.
Right. It's a financial center. It's like,
that's right.
it's the equivalent of a Rome is to Italy.
Yes.
Separate, apart, distinct. The city of London is separate and apart. Distinct and apart from London, where London Bridge is. So it was. The bottom line is that we are at the point now where to underestimate your enemy is a classic. But I want to make this clear. Even from the latest glyph, and Doug, I'll send it. I can't send it right now because it's on a different email site. But here's the latest translation of the glyph, okay? It'll have to go to a different account. I think you know what I mean.
Yeah.
From Lucifer, not Satan. There's somebody on your show or listens to us that gets all bent out of shape because I refer to Lucifer as Lucifer, not Satan. And I basically told them the Luciferians have got to acknowledge Lucifer in his pre-fallen state because in his mind, he's equal to or greater than the God of heaven. Makes sense.
Yes.
This is the glyph. From Lucifer to all Arab leaders and warrior legions, there will be a major meeting in the main throne room at midnight this Saturday night. Travel by gate to save time getting back after the meeting. Be ready to discuss all parts of how your plans are working and how the progress to global nuclear war is progressing. Remember to bring your sacrifices. Those are human sacrifices, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, by the way, where did all the children of Maui go? You know, Doug,
how quickly we forgot about Maui, right? Go ahead.
Yeah. And I mean, seriously? Lord God of heaven, what has happened to this place? And because the churches, and I'm saying this, the churches have more warlocks as pastors than there are pastors who representing the Son of God.
Amen.
There are more witches in women's Bible studies than the women in the Bible studies would even acknowledge.
Okay, Steve, we've got 1 minute left. Here's what we can do. If you need a little bit more time, we can move from Global Star into Overdrive for a little bit, if that's what you'd like to do.
Yeah, let's move into Overdrive.
Okay, all right. Go ahead and continue your thoughts, sir.
Well, Doug, as we're discussing this, you had Craig Sawyer in studio yesterday, and I was fortunate to get, thanks to you, I was able to talk to him. And he made a stunning statement, because it's been bothering him. Lord, where are the men of God? And he basically said they lack moral courage. Did you hear him say that?
Yes.
And the reason they lack moral courage is because they don't read the Word of God, they don't believe the Word of God, and they don't act on the Word of God. And when I see the works he's doing, and then, you know, we won a lawsuit for $4.5 million against Daniel. What's that guy's name? It's been...
Daniel John Lee.
Yeah.
$4.65 million for defamation, slander, and what have you.
Well, one of the reasons I bring that up is because there are people out there even now, and Doug, I just sent you an email in real time, that are attacking the people that are out trying to rescue the children. If you look at your email, you'll see what I just sent you. And so when we undertook the Glyph Project, and for the amount of years it's been going on, the amount of effort and money spent and everything, we're still so incomplete. I just can't finish it right now until God releases the funds. I believe God will release the funds to the people that he will use to release the funds. And the reason, again, we don't release all of these things except intermittently is because we will not allow, by the grace of God, and I believe this is an instruction, to allow people to use them as fortune-telling events. Does that make sense?
It does,
And again, it's turn your eyes upon Jesus. This stuff has to be prayed over, and I'm not making it super spiritual, but it's truly evil. So, and Doug, honestly, what people have to put into perspective, of every symbol in the world, of every sigil, of every scrawled petroglyph, there's common denominators in so many of them, and in so many of them, they point to the very thing that I just read that's coming off of the out of the glyptionary about using the stargates. Well, quite candidly, very few people even knew what a stargate was until the movie Stargate SG-1 came out, you know? And again, it's imperative that I think one of the greatest revelations, and it could have been understood about the gates of hell until this generation, when Jesus said he's going to build his church on the rock of faith, not Peter. He calls Peter a small stone, but on the rock of faith, the declaration of who Jesus Christ was through the mouth of Peter, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Well, the gates of hell have opened. And Doug, every day, and you know this too, that you get somebody that is going to complain about, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But why is it they have the lack of moral courage to complain, but they won't do anything positive with their life to stop the evil? I guarantee you, without us bringing it up, I guarantee you, very few people even have remembered that there's thousands of children unaccounted for in Maui.
And, you know, we have to always keep that in the forefront. I really believe that. There's questions that need to be answered that have to be answered before we can go further. That's one of them, what happened there in Maui. Well, let's keep that in the forefront. And every other, even going back to 9/11, we have to keep the pressure on for answers and for information. Go ahead, sir.
Well, one thing that's interesting, the first stories out are usually the true ones. Then the spin begins. And how do you find, and this is a rhetorical question to all your viewers and listeners, and how do I find where the truth lies when if you're only looking to a standard narrative. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The whole situation going on in the Middle East is scripted, and it is in a what's the word I want? It's in a containment thought process and a containment set of descriptors. So most people will just go along with what they're being told. Yet people like Martin Armstrong and the people that are really, really bright are saying, this story stinks. I'm not a fan of Seymour Hersh or Cy Hersh, but I mean, he's asked some great questions. And see, what's interesting to me is that we're watching double standards applied. For instance, the January 6th, quote, protesters are in prison. Yet the crew that goes into Congress, which is a crime and against the law, they're going to, my guess is they'll walk free. Is that your guess too?
100%. There will be no there is no justice. There is no justice right. system. Okay, there's a legal system that is weaponized against American citizens, but no justice. Go ahead.
Well, and again, what we're watching is, and I'll give you a good example. People looking to Donald Trump to be their deliverer. Sidney Powell just rolled on him. To my knowledge, there's only one guy that hasn't rolled. How is it that maybe two? And Mike Lindell is now being destroyed financially. And look at what's happening. Sidney Powell again, she just pleaded guilty. And you know, no jail time. But look at what is happening to every single person that was in, what would you say, the immediate vicinity in a counselor, literally lawyers, business partners, business managers. Why is it that everyone is turned against them? Doug, do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's something that, yeah, loyalty. Okay, first, yeah, do I have an answer for it? I could fill up like 2 days worth of stuff. But I'll tell you what, loyalty, Donald Trump was a great disruptor. He disrupted the plans of the globalists. The people around him became targets. The globalists targeted the people around them. And, you know, it's just like an investigation. You go after the weakest link, okay, and then you flip them. It doesn't even have to be criminal behavior. It can be some other form of leverage. But the bottom line here, at least in my particular opinion on this, from an investigative standpoint, okay, this is the globalist move to neutralize not Donald Trump himself, but the America First ideology, and to make any American afraid to speak up. Look, can't remember his name, just got a jail sentence for posting memes, cartoons. Okay, that supposedly interfered with the election last, or the 2016 election, I believe it was. Okay, what kind of bullshit is that? And I mean that sincerely. Okay, this is not America anymore. Go ahead, sir.
It isn't America, you know. I think of the song, who did it? Living in America, you know. Maybe James Brown or, you know, It isn't America anymore. It's America with a K. We've lost the moral high ground. We used to present a facade, and that facade has been ripped off because God has given each nation under the sun a specific time frame to run. In other words, they all rise, they all fall. And that's why this situation in the Middle East, I want people to just go look up the Medo-Persian Empire. Look up the year that Babylon fell. Read the prophet Daniel. Look, I'm talking to people that I know. Well, that's all that Jesus stuff. You bet it is, because it's that stuff. And for the record, I don't speak disparaging like that, but I'm saying to the people that say that, your only hope, your only deliverance is either going to be capitulate to the prince of darkness or accept the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. You can mock God. You can do everything you want to do. You can blaspheme. But the day comes when you're left with your own hatred your own lack of even being willing to concede that what happens if there is a God and where do I stand? And then to the lukewarm Christians, the evangelifish, it's not a question of you claiming you know Jesus. Does Jesus know you? Jesus specifically talks in the scripture about many coming to him in those days saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And Doug, I have my own, I'm using the Rosetta Stone. I have my own, I would guess, New Testament test for people that are guests, for instance, and apply it. The people that are afraid, they claim to be Christians. If they don't claim to be Christians, I don't have an issue. But they won't name the name of Jesus, okay? They just don't. Think about everybody, and don't name names, but think about everybody you've had on your show. I think about people that I've interviewed and the ones I won't. When I ask someone to explain to me where and how they came to Jesus Christ, past tense, and they hedge, well, that's a private thing. I said, no, it isn't. You're out. Romans 10:9, 10:10. With your heart, we're told we believe unto righteousness, but with our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So and I'm going to give you a chance to answer that. It's rhetorical, but if you think back on guests, how many do mention the name of Jesus versus how many don't, would you guess?
Wow. I don't know the answer to that. When I do an interview, just so listeners and viewers know this, when I do an interview, it's like if I do an interview for an investigation, if someone is testifying about an issue that is not related to not religion, but their personal walk with Jesus or their acceptance of Jesus. I'm not trying to make excuses. What I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to say,
right.
It's got to be, in other words, if somebody comes on air and says, this is the Bible, this is, you know, how things are, then yes, the test for do you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is relevant. If someone is testifying about a car accident, something totally, unrelated. Okay, I don't get down that road. But to answer your question, you know, I'm not even sure I know the answer to that question, but because I most people that talk in, like you and I are talking, do profess the name of Jesus Christ, but I'm also, and again, to answer your question, I'm also surprised by many who don't. Go ahead.
And I should have been more specific, because there's so many people out there that are prophetic voices. 400 false prophets to every one. I'm not a prophet, never claimed to be. Never have I claimed to be. But here's what I'm getting for, Doug, and I should have defined my question to you. Didn't mean to do that. Not be more defined. Where it's relevant is when people are relating it to the coming events from the Bible.
That's it. Thank you.
That's what I'm trying to say. But I'll say it from my standpoint. I'll interview anybody, whether they believe in Jesus or not, if it's important, the information they have, okay? But what I'm saying is the problem comes when someone identifies with being Christian but never mentions the name of Jesus. And that should be everybody's Rosetta Stone who's a Christian. Because if someone's uncomfortable with the name of Jesus, outside of those who take his name in vain all the days, but the bottom line is that there's a reason they're uncomfortable. And you know what it is usually? Conscience. Because the law of God still written in men's hearts before they become reprobate still is there to prick our consciences and to have us ponder what we're doing in our life versus what the Word of God says. So look, here's the deal. Christians are all imperfect people. Christians, there's no such thing as a good Christian. There are only redeemed Christians. There are only obedient Christians. There are only faithful Christians. But there's no other modifier. You cannot put the word good in front of it.
I like that. And you're exactly right. And, yeah, you're exactly right. And by the way, I should have anticipated the context of your question, which I apologize for taking it in a different direction. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. There cannot be, and there should not be, any modifiers to the word Christian. Go ahead.
Well, again, the battle's coming. The battle is going to come. And look, I don't know all the nuances of the plans for global domination that the Talmudic claimants to Judaism have in store. I don't understand all the Noahide laws. I don't understand this. And I'm not beating. I want to make it clear. I'm taking on the issue of how a country that said never again would allow such a security breach. Listen, Mossad's one of the best, if not the best, intel agencies in the world. They knew. Even Egypt told Israel, hey, this is good. We're picking this up. It's going to happen. And Israel didn't want to hear it. Egypt said, we want to send a caravan of food and medicine into Palestine. And, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of trucks stopped at the border crossing. And Israel said, nope. So when you get someone saying, now watch the transition. Hitler said that the Jews were, you know, they painted Jewish people in every form of horrific light they could. Then we have the situation now where one of the heads of Israeli, I don't know if he's intelligence or military, says the Palestinians are animals. Does that sound historically maybe like there's somebody who's running this playbook that's a supernatural evil entity? And Doug, here's a simple statement. The reason Israel is such a burdensome stone is because the Antichrist wants to get the worship of people that he's in place of Jesus Christ. And it says that until God lifts the veil off the eyes of the people who are true Jews, they're not going to see. But in essence, there comes a point in history when he claims to be God, demands worship. And yet before that time, America, no matter how you spell it, and again, America was not named for Amerigo Vespucci. It was named for Amaruca. That's the name of the Quetzalcoatl language, the tongue of the Quetzalcoatl Aztecs, which means land of the plumed serpents. Oh, gee, we have all these lizard-like creatures running around now. I'm talking bipedal. And the Bible doesn't say that the snake that tempted Eve crawled on its belly before it tempted Eve. No, it had to be seductive. It had to be beautiful. And therefore, that's exactly why we're at this point in time in history, in my opinion. We have forsaken the fountains of living water. This is what the prophet said. I think Jeremiah, and I could be wrong, I'm just by memory, and have hewn ourselves out cisterns that can hold no water. What's different between a broken vessel that can hold a little bit of water? Sure, you might get a little rainwater. I mean, especially if you're hiking in the desert Southwest, there's a rainstorm and you've got all these adits or divots in rocks. That's where you can usually find water. By the way, you want to boil it. The point is that we're watching now the absolute integration of biblical prophecy, but there's going to be two roads of it. There's going to be the religious road, and there's going to be the relationship road. The religious people will persecute the relationship people, and you'll see it coming to pass. If you don't accept the universal religion, if you don't accept wokeness and brokenness and pronoun people and this and that and the other thing, that's them setting their parameters for defining your, how should I say this, reason to be allowed to live. Now, Doug, they're telling us eat insects. So next time I speak on your show or any show, I got to remember this, I will refer to the WEFers, and I mean the effers, as insectoids, okay? Two-legged grasshopper people. And they're insectoids. And what's interesting, they're going to be everywhere. They're going to be buzzing. They're going to be flying. They're going to be yapping. And they're going to say, oh, eat our fellow insects. No, thank you. And Tyson just bought in. Tyson, the meat people, just bought in to one of the biggest insect processing plants in the world. And I'm telling you how it's going to get introduced. they're going to start putting in genetically modified products in. That's going to be insects. So you're going to have a McCricket burger. You're going to have a roach shake, R-O-A-C-H, a roach shake. You're going to be eating stuff that hey, you put the right food coloring in, you put the right food additives in, and well, what's the difference? The difference is, you guys, is that we are not to eat the devil's menu, yet we swallow. Excuse me, we're not to eat off the devil's menu, and yet we're willing to dine in his restaurants. That's a better way of saying what I'm trying to say. Mm. So, Doug, this is important because, again, unless there's outrage, and, you know, I before the Lord, I pray I never lose track of those Maui children in my prayers. You know, some of the information I'm getting, can I verify it? No. But a lot of those kids were sold in the sex trade slave in the Arab countries.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well,
and worse, you know, here's the deal. Please go ahead, Doug.
I guess my question is the timing of everything. When you look, if you would take a piece of paper and lay it on a desk and make a timeline of events, working backwards, okay, you've got this really curious invasion. Curious in the sense of how did this happen or who allowed this to happen, where many civilians of Israel were just slaughtered, you know, and then work backwards. You've got Maui, and then people forget about the Chinese balloon fiasco. People forget about East Palestine. People forget. I mean, so many things. But back to the children, you know. If you notice that people notice that the targets of the savages that came into Israel targeted children probably proportionally more than any other member. You know, as opposed to man or woman, it was the children. So this is a war against the innocents.
Yes.
As I'm looking at this timeline, in just about every situation here that we're looking at, it's a war against the children, and especially with the jab, the death jab, which Israel was the testing grounds, the petri dish for the death jabs on children. So, I mean, all of this combined, you know, we're looking at really, like you have said often, the last days here, the end of days, I suppose. But when that is, I don't know. We don't know. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it's shaping up to the way you said it was going to shape up. Go ahead.
Well, and the children, the innocents, I think of the words of Jesus, suffer the little children to come unto me. And yet, you know, for there is the kingdom. Where is the outrage? Okay, seriously? You know, where is the outrage? Where's the acknowledgement? Or do we just go along to get along? And that is the roller coaster to hell. Oh, the thrill. We go up and we go here. We go listen to Pastor Blasphemer, you know, on Sunday. We go, or a lot of people watch, you know, the presentation. Not everything on TV is bad. I'm not saying that Christian related, but the biggest pulpiteers, okay? Remember that song, M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U, F-A-K-E-R, you know, I should come up with another theme of it, you know? Let's call them the faking freaksters, okay? That's a mouthful. Faking freaksters, F-R-E-A-K-S-T-E-R-S. They're making a show. They're trafficking in men's souls. They're merchandising people. Some of the biggest, most well-known music ministries, I remember the Hell, and it was Hell. I love those guys. I was talking about Hell Song, H-E-L-L-S-O-N-G. Before three of their most prominent pastors, including the founder, got caught, let's just call it for what it is, with their pants down, okay? And then it seems like the head of another basic Bible college got caught with his pants down and her pants down. By the way, the her was not his wife. The infidelity. Look, here's the deal. What does the world see? Nothing different. And what's tragic, Doug, is, and this is where Craig, God bless him, his statement about moral courage, that I pondered that so many times, especially from the standpoint of God. There's so few people out there. And you know that, you know the heat that Craig has taken by some a spawn of hell. You
yes.
know that well,
yes.
we've taken, you know, by yeah. by different individuals.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, okay. I make no apologies, and in fact, I will accept responsibility. Any name mentioned, okay, it deserves to be mentioned because they are part of a cabal of in my opinion now, a cabal of people who want to see Craig, his Vest for Child Rescue, Shatter Ops want to see them taken down. Okay, the individual that was mentioned, I mentioned him. That individual, okay, quite frankly, has nothing. Is on the run, and right now, I know Craig and perhaps myself. We are preparing a lawsuit, okay? Because enough is enough. When individuals like that, okay, we taught, and forgive me for mentioning the name, we taught Daniel John Lee a lesson, $4.65 million. Craig and I talked about it yesterday, okay? The judgment against him. You were part of that judgment. But do you yep. think we'll ever see a penny of it? No. These other assholes, and again, I make no apology for it, want to see the good, the saving of children taken down. And I'll tell you what, you get in our way, we're going to run over you. We're going to run through you. We're going to bury you. Okay. I guarantee you that's coming from me. Okay. We will bury you. Leave us alone. We are helping the children. And if you get in our way, okay, I promise.
Be careful,
you.
Yeah. Just be careful.
Well, don't.
The deal.
A word of caution.
What I'm saying.
Don't.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Yeah. I'm just using you a caution, okay? Because again, here's the deal. As we're on the air right now, ladies and gentlemen, I had one of the fake cowards who won't even use a real name, who's been a nemesis of Craig, who's been a nemesis of Doug and a nemesis of me. And he this is in relationship to yesterday's show with Craig slandering him. I've marveled at Craig Sawyer's composure. I've marveled at his skill set. And I think that this miserable cockroach from hell, those are my words, can go on. But see, Doug, everybody, and let's just say this. How many chickens have to crow in the background, and how much chicken manure do you have to step in before you realize, you know, that these people are professional provocateurs? And so, and please, I'm not trying to stop you from, I'm just saying this.
No, that's true.
Yeah, remember, everyone, you see and you hear this, you know, as it's podcast and broadcast, but during the, you know, the time that we're putting the show together or the show is going together, we get snips. And I mean, you know, we get total assholes. And if you don't like that word, then please, you know, look for me to be here on Doug's show on Thursdays and don't listen to me at all.
There you go.
I'm tired of the cowards. Let me make this. Now I got to simmer down. I'm tired of the nameless cowards always impugning the name of people out there, of people putting their lives on the line. And it so pissed me off. When Ross died, I thought, God, if I could have stopped that, I would have done it with all my heart. Unfortunately, that's when I was with COVID, and I couldn't even get out of bed.
You were a mess. I mean,
I was a mess. Yeah, I was a mess. But here's the thing. I refuse to entertain or listen to slander against you, my brother, against Craig Sawyer, from nameless freaking cowards. Yep. And I got to tell you something. The word chicken poop if you use the S version, we're more offended at the word S-H-I-T than we are at children 2,000 sold into slavery or sacrifice or millions of people aborted, little brothers. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're a nation soaked in blood, and we're going to reap the blood in our streets. And your silence will condemn you in the future. You need to get into the Word of God and look at the lion pictures. Every day I'm on, the righteous are as bold as lions. Doug, God bless you. Thank you.
All right, that'll do it, folks. Thanks for hanging out. Now you see how the sausage is made, right? All right, have a good day.